Okay, I have three sections to share today. Colossians 1, 10 through 12, Ephesians 1, 18 through 19, and Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, as our topic today is what is power. But there's so many different verses throughout the Bible, the verses about the Holy Spirit's power and God's power and the power that we have in Christ. And these are three that I just wanted to share with everyone. And we'll see where Jason leads us in just a few minutes here. But reading from Colossians 1, verses 10 through 12. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of the light. Oh, wow, Jason, that could be a whole program's topic. Ephesians 1, 18 through 19. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. You have to think a little bit about that. And Ephesians is filled with a lot of different references about God's power, but this is Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Many of you are familiar with this portion of Scripture. In my Bible, it's titled, The Armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stance against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, July 29th, 2022. Wow, the last Friday in this month. It's going to be August soon. And in fact, let me make a few announcements before we bring out the topic, what is power? But on Testimony Tuesday, please make it a point to tune in. I'll have Chief Tim Tyler. He's the new Champaign Chief of Police, follower of Jesus, passionate about sharing his faith. And I trust you're going to be encouraged and delighted by his testimony. He is a force for the Lord, a very positive force, exhibiting the Lord's power in so many different ways. I had the opportunity of meeting up with him the other day and am very encouraged by what he sees God's calling on his life. So that'll be Testimony Tuesday. And then for those of you pastors or church leaders that are tuned in, this coming Thursday, August 4th, we're having our Ministry Leaders Network luncheon. Brad Lovin, he's the executive director of the Washington Street Mission in Springfield. He's coming in, and his topic is everyday intentional leadership. And I think he's using John chapter 5 or chapter 4 as his basis of everyday intentional leadership. He'll be a great speaker. And if you're a pastor or church leader, contact the station and we'll make arrangements. We always have a great lunch for everyone. And we meet from 12 to 1:15 p.m. We're out the door at 1:15. So it's an hour and 15-minute commitment. And it's always the first Thursday of every month. And find out more by calling the station, 217-367-7777. And then a week from today, next Friday, August 5th, 7 to 9 p.m., at the Meadowbrook Church in Champaign, they're hosting a Unity for Ukraine. If you were tuned in on Tuesday, you heard from Wayne Shepherd and Tim Pico. Also on Monday, you heard from Dave and Kay Lemons as they talked about meeting up with someone from Ukraine and the things that are going on in Ukraine. Well, this is an opportunity for you to have some hands-on ways to get involved. So that's Friday, August 5th at the Meadowbrook Church, 7 to 9 p.m. for a Unity for Ukraine event gathering. There'll be a worship team and some speakers, and there'll be time to have your questions answered and learn how you can be involved. So what is power? Boy, Jason, you preached a bit about it on Sunday, and I mentioned on one of the programs that I thought it'd be a good topic for you to share on, and you said, sure. And I said, do you want to talk about the Holy Spirit power or power in general, or what's the topic? And you said, what is power is fine. So I know you preached on it, and there's a lot to do with the Holy Spirit giving us or granting us power, but where do you want to go with this topic, what is power?
Well, I think for us, what we have to do is we have to first say what is power and what is true power. And we have to define that rightly for ourselves, because if we don't, what I think we'll do is we'll do what we do in every other part of our life, is we settle for whatever it is that we can seek, whatever it is we think we can attain. You know, we all have this thing where we say, that's what I really think that is. But then we go, okay, but what is, you know, what is measurable? What can I really attain? What can I really get? And then we usually settle for that. And that sometimes is where a lot of people's frustrations come from in life. So I would just love to ask everybody around the table, what is power? Now, remember, I understand that you're Christians and you're at the Christian radio station. Mm-hmm. So our inevitable movement is to give the Christian answer. But I just want to challenge us to answer maybe what we really think it is.
The ability to get things done.
The ability to get things done. Excellent. Sharon, and you're not off the hook. Come on.
Power. We have power through prayer.
Hmm. And Alaric, what about you?
Well, you can't work stuff without power, so.
Yeah. Earlier, Alaric already had mentioned, without power, we wouldn't have this radio station. That's true. There's power in the blood is that song that comes to mind. Mm. But power is kind of the person that stands up and is a force behind a movement or a force behind a reckoning. I have the power, so we're going to do it this way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Tyndale Bible Dictionary defines power as the ability to do things by virtue of strength, skill, resource, authority, or authorization. So that really falls underneath everything that we all just said. But the reason that I even arrived at this topic or thought about this topic is because I was perusing the news about a week or week and a half ago, and there was an article, and the article was titled, "The Christian Quest for Power." And what the article was about, and before we get, before the listener or even us around the table could get frustrated by that title, the article was actually written by a Christian. It was written by a very well-known Christian, and I won't give his name, but the reason he wrote the article is because he was increasingly growing frustrated with his Christian brothers and sisters who were seeking power both politically, ideologically, culturally, and socially when he said they already have power. Hmm. We have already been given power. And we have to be careful with how we define what power is, because the power that we seek, the power that we're seeking, political, social, ideological, or cultural, that isn't power at all. In fact, the Bible calls that slavery. And why? Because that kind of power, political, cultural, ideological, or social, that kind of power is power over people. The power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit is power for people. Hmm. It's power that we bring and invade into the lives of other people. Now, I totally get that we would oftentimes struggle with what power is, because in my notes from Sunday, I even referenced Isaiah 53, 2 through 5, and I referenced Romans 5, 7 through 8, where the Bible tells us about how we'll view power. Isaiah says, he had no form of majesty. By the way, I think that power, just spoiler alert, is God's giving of Jesus. Because God gave us Jesus, and Jesus came, and he came for our redemption and our salvation. But in his coming, he paves the way for who to come?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, right. And when Jesus references the Holy Spirit, he doesn't say, nice guy. He doesn't say, really a great charismatic kind of person. I mean, what word does Jesus use to describe the Holy Spirit?
Comes in the power.
Yeah, he comes in power. And so the Holy Spirit is God's manifestation of power to us and through us that comes through Jesus Christ. But in reference to Jesus, it says in Isaiah 53, he had no form of majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one whom men hid their face, he was despised. We esteemed him not. So this is God's manifestation of his powerful plan of redemption. This is how we'll view it. This is how the natural human person views it. So when we see somebody who's an atheist and we go, boy, I just don't understand why he doesn't understand who God is. God actually told us in the Old Testament how we'll view the true manifestation of his power through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And even Romans 7 says, one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even die. But God shows his love, his power. By the way, you could use love and power interchangeably, because the power of God is the manifestation of his love. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, some translations say, Christ died for us. The manifestation of power is sacrifice. That's why it's different than earthly power, because earthly power, again, is power over people. Sacrifice is power for people, power that is given to people freely, even the people who don't deserve it. And that's where true power is found, because true power should be unexplainable. At least that's what I think. I think true power, when it's really operating, you kind of scratch your head. You know, I think that when I said to my son, I said, what is true power? You know what he told me? He said, Dad, Superman, because he can fly. And I said, well, how do you think he flies? He goes, it's a mystery. It's unexplainable. Now, we don't know how Superman flies. True power is unexplainable. You can't explain it. And yet, God does something that's unexplainable to give us power for people, not over people. It's so important, I think, that we understand this, because if we don't truly understand it and embrace it, what we're going to do is chase after lesser power. And so, listen, I've got a family member of ours who works for this group who goes to Springfield all the time and lobbies about climate change. And I love that she does this. But her and I have this ongoing discussion all the time where I say, listen, you could litigate the heck out of that thing, but until you change the hearts of people, it doesn't matter. Because that guy who has that big SUV, he doesn't care about anybody else till his heart changes. Or that person who does what, they don't care until their heart changes. Until a heart changes, people don't really care. And so you can have power over people, but it doesn't mean that people are going to do what's right. I mean, how many of us around this table follow the speed limit at all times?
You're meddling.
Keep in mind that the chief of police will be on the radio shortly. But I mean, how many of us do? I mean, at times we drive a little quicker, don't we? Yeah. Well, that power over people doesn't necessarily mean that the people beneath that power are actually going to do what they've been asked to do. It means they may. But power for people. So the way I would say this is that, listen, in my neighborhood, everybody drives slow. You know why? Because everybody knows that everybody else has little kids and everybody else cares about everybody else's little kids. And so in my neighborhood, people have a different view. Why? Because they want to use that power for people, not over them. Hmm. And so they want to do what's right because they know the people around them. I think that we have to differentiate between what true power is and what lesser powers are. Because as Christians, what power do we want to operate in?
The Holy Spirit power.
Yeah, true power. So I wrote in my notes here, by the way, when Jesus' disciples come to him in Acts chapter 1, what do they say? Does anybody know? Lord, when will you restore?
Restore the kingdom to Israel?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So when Jesus' disciples come, they say, now listen, don't anybody get mad at me, but what do they say? When are you going to make Israel great again?
Yes.
They come and they have a very worldly view of power. When are you going to make it great? Come on, when are you going to restore the nation so we can be like things used to be?
And I'm thinking also self-centeredly, when are we going to be in those positions of power? Am I going to be on your left hand or right hand? I mean, so there was some of their own self-aggrandizement, whatever that word is, you know, where they would be elevated in that power.
Yeah. Ron, I don't know these big words he's using, do you? I'm confused. Mark has come in a different kind of power today. But they say, Lord, when will you restore the kingdom? And he says, listen, this is bigger than the kingdom. This is something that when we read this passage, we parse it out inappropriately, because Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So he says, listen, this conversation is bigger than the kingdom of Israel. This conversation is about the entire world, all of creation. Hmm. And he says that all of creation is going to change when what? When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Mm-hmm. And he even tells them to go and wait. I think that he tells them to go and wait because they got some things they got to work out. And by the way, what is one thing that people are very bad at doing?
Waiting.
Waiting. Yes. Yeah. So they have to go and wait. And in the middle of waiting, they have to not do it their way, but do it the Lord's way. And they have to work out the fact that they're going to have to be okay with doing it the Lord's way, not their way. And so they're waiting on power. But one of my favorite verses, it was one of the verses that I memorized a long, long time ago, when Paul says it, 1 Corinthians 2:4, where he says, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Wise and persuasive words would be what kind of power?
Self. Or
yeah, human power. I can read books. I can get educated. I can do all kinds of things, and I can come and sound very educated. Or as my friend likes to say, edumacated. I can come very educated, and I can come sounding very good, and I can have well and eloquent speech because I have learned how to control the timbre of my voice and the rise and the fall of how I speak so that I can be like honey on the dew of the lips of the people I speak to. But here's the problem, is that that's fleeting power. Because Paul says, I actually want to come to you with the power of the Spirit. Because the power of the Spirit is undeniable power. And it is not just power to change motives or to change opinions. The power of the Spirit changes lives because it is the power unto salvation. Does anybody know what the Holy Spirit's job is in the Trinity?
Oftentimes pointing to Jesus or bringing to remembrance the things of Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus told us that in the upper room. He said, he will remind you of all the things that I have said and done. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you to all truth, the way, the truth, and the life, who is Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit's job as the humble arm of the Trinity is to lead us back to Christ, to lead us back to the power that we have that was found in our salvation, and to lead others to that. And so Paul says, listen, I can come with the kinds of words and the kinds of ideas that will change your opinions and get you to follow me and alter your motivations, but nothing is going to change unless you see Jesus, unless you experience salvation, unless your heart changes. And so Paul is willing to lay aside all of who Paul is so that he can let people know that the power isn't from him. In fact, I have to think that when Paul said that, people are like, no, Paul, we want to hear you. Mm-hmm. And I experience that. I mean, I've got podcasts that I listen to because I really just like the way the person sounds. You know, and I've got an affinity for a British accent. I love a good British accent. When somebody speaks in a British accent, you can hold my attention longer than if not. And so, but Paul says, listen, I didn't come to preach me. I came to preach Christ and him crucified. I came to tell you about how I died to self. And in that gained true power, and how you also can gain that power. Again, not power over people, but power for people to change their lives.
I'm thinking how power is kind of counterintuitive. We think of power as the strength, but it's until we pour ourselves out and lean into Jesus, recognizing that we don't have power, then we're given power. It's like where Paul's wrestling with, why don't I do the things I want to do, but end up doing the things I don't want to do? And he's emptying himself, saying, unless, Lord, you fill me with power. And how many of us maybe have habits or disciplines we're trying to work through and can't do it on our own, and it's only when we come to the point like, Lord, I need you to do this through me because I don't have the power to do it myself.
Well, and sometimes I also think that we think that maybe our own spiritual lives might be somehow inadequate in order to live within that power. Like we haven't really attained the place to be able to wield that kind of power. And again, it's not about us doing it, but I do think that there is sometimes people run into this inadequacy. Well, if I could just read my Bible more or pray more, then maybe I could operate in a greater sense of the Spirit's power. There isn't a greater sense of the Spirit's power. There's a greater submission or sacrifice on your part to operate in that. And for that reason, I really love a lot of times, and I know there are people who are not fans of the message, but I am, only because I love the clarity that sometimes it brings to pieces of Scripture, because it just paraphrases it out. Now, it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase. So it's not meant to be on par with a translation where a group of translators work through the Greek and the Hebrew. It's meant to just, in layman's terms, offer us an idea of what Scripture is saying. So in 1 Corinthians 2:4, when Paul says, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:4 and 5 in the Message says this, I was unsure how to go about this. I felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death. If you want the truth of it, nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the Message came through anyways. God's Spirit and power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. I love that. I love the fact that it begins by saying, listen, there are times when I'm a little nervous, I'm a little scared, and I feel a lot inadequate. And the truth of it is I don't think I could impress you on the scale that God can. And so whatever it is you hear, that comes through God. By the way, that releases you from having to be impressive, but instead to be used by God. And that message comes through God's Spirit and God's power, and that's the one who did it. So clearly that your response to that, your salvation, could only have come from God, not any kind of fancy mental or emotional footwork that me or anybody else could do. And just imagine how much more time we would have to really do great ministry if we weren't so focused on fancy footwork and mental gymnastics. Not trying to make things sound wonderful or make things perfect or find the right story or the right joke or the right this or the right that, but instead just came like Paul said, and I just want to tell you about Jesus who died for you. I just want to tell you about Christ and him crucified. And in that, I'm going to get to tell my story. And my story will be the personal connect. There's no embellishing that. My story is my story. And Jesus' story is his story. And mine is wrapped up and hidden in his. And that is true power.
Yeah, I think so many times we're kind of self-consumed with our own power, our own inadequacies, our own strengths or weaknesses, and so we may or may not do something instead of really being totally surrendered. Lord, I know you've called me to go into all the world, so what's really keeping me? Is it just because I'm afraid, or I don't want to be ostracized, or I don't want to be put down, or don't want people making fun of me? And he's made it clear, go into all the world. We were talking about this before the program with Chief Tyler, Sharon, just go and do it. What else do you need? God said, go into all the world. And so it's kind of interesting. We don't, because we're fearful. We're afraid. We don't want to be made fun of.
Well, we think it takes fancy footwork, but here it's really simple. And I'll just give, it's very practical. Somebody comes up and they say, man, I just love what you do. And you go, you wouldn't have loved me 35 years ago. Because 35 years ago, I was a selfish and pretty arrogant person. And let me tell you why I'm not. And you have an opportunity in the adulation to give the right perspective and then tell the right story. Because the only story people know is the story they see right now. But if they understand the big story and how Christ invades inside of that story to show forth his power and change a life and set it on a trajectory to where it looks impressive. Disciples had to do the same thing. They came and go, man, you raised this guy up from the gate beautiful. And they're like, no, we didn't do it. God did it. I mean, continually in the Bible, the disciples are having to tell people, we didn't do it. God did it. And they're like, no, we think you did it. No, God did it. And that's kind of the same thing as we as disciples of Jesus have to do. We have to continually tell people it's not our power at work. It's the power at work within us by God.
What is power? It's this book, these words of Jesus. Jesus is the power. He is the way, the truth, and the life. May you all draw close to him today, because he will unleash power in and through your testimony, in and through your time with him, in and through your time worshiping him on Sunday in a good Bible-believing church. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, Ron Fernald, Sharon Fernald, and Alaric Schaffley with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.